May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I love the gospel reading. We talked about that some last week. Somewhere. I talked about it somewhere. We were in Tuscaloosa Thursday and Friday in Birmingham, Saturday, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. But it's interesting how, Jesus, when there's not any example anywhere in Scripture that Jesus went up to anybody and said, would you like to receive me into your heart? Though I believe that. I did that. But he preached something bigger than that. He said, the good news is that the kingdom of God, the rule and the reign of God is here. And then he demonstrated all that that meant. And the way he led so many people to himself was simply by confronting the powers of darkness in their life and healing them. And then having healed them, the simple thing is like, okay, here's the kingdom of heaven, and this is what it's like. Now, how would you like to be a part of that? It's pretty easy. I think that's the way God wants us to start sharing the gospel again. You know, instead of it being a formula-oriented, it being encounter-oriented. But this is part of the good news, and why in the world I'm given this word, I don't have a clue. But in my time in prayer this morning, I just said, God, what do you want to say? And I literally had a vision of this scripture. It's like written across this thing. It was printed. It wasn't like written, it was printed. And I thought, and I read it, I thought, okay, I kind of knew what it was going to say, but I believe it's the whole little context there. But so whoever this is for, it's for all of us, but whatever the reason, God wanted to speak this word. So let me just start with verse 10 of Romans 6. The scripture I saw was Romans 6:12. We'll look through verse 10 through verse 13. We, of course, don't have much time. But one of the, where the power of the gospel first manifests itself in the most important places in our life is victory over the power of sin to reign in us. And those of you who've been around a while, you know that what we talk about a lot is what the New Testament talks about a lot, and that's our union with Christ. And being placed into his life and into the story that he tells, that's what it means to be at union with Christ, so that he can live that life and tell his story continually through us. And union with Christ involves two particular areas. One of them is Jesus living victoriously, reigning victoriously over the power of sin in us. And then reigning victoriously through us over the power of Satan in the lives of people. That's really what it's all about. Those are the two aspects of our life in Christ. But this first thing has to be the first thing. When we quote these verses about Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, if you go back in 1 John 3 and read that, it's the context there is the power of sin to destroy us. That's the most important work of the devil that the devil doesn't want to give up. Because if we move in signs and wonders, but if once you go back home and you're in bondage to sin, that's horrible. Christ came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, so that from the inside out you can give that away to broken and fallen people. So Romans chapter 6, verse 10 says this, for the death that he died to sin once. But the life that he's now living, he's living to God. That's real simple. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he's now living, he's living to God. Then the very next verse says, even so. Even so. See, because Romans 6 is all about the fact that my union with Christ was accomplished through the fact that I died with Christ at the cross. His crucifixion was my crucifixion. And his resurrection was my resurrection of the new self that I now am in Christ. He accomplished that for me 2,000 years ago. Tetelestai, perfect. He did it perfect. It became my experience the moment I became born again. I prayed the prayer. I did the Baptist bar mitzvah and asked Jesus to come live in my heart. But the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a remarkable thing. Now think about that again. Like, how do you live the Christian life? by him. How does he continue to live his life on earth? By you. That's union with Christ. If you're trying to figure out how to live the Christian life, listen to, again, what these scriptures have said, living the Christian life in a way that sin is no longer reigning over you in your life. For the death that he died to sin once. But the life that he's now living, that's present tense, he's living to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. How? Because you're in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Because you're in Christ, his relationship to sin is your relationship to sin. And his relationship to God is your relationship to God. Now, does that mean that you're incapable of sinning? No. But it means you're capable of not sinning. Because you're in Christ. His relationship to sin is your relationship to sin. His relationship to God is your relationship to God. And it's Christ himself who's living the godly life in us and through us. That's at the heart of the gospel. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then verse 12. Therefore, in light of that reality, that you're in Christ, and his relationship to sin is your relationship to sin. That's what God says about you. And faith always starts with what God believes about you, not with what you believe about God. Faith is just coming into agreement with what God believes about you. Even so, therefore, do not continue. Here's the language. I'm going to give it to you grammatically the way it's written. Therefore, stop letting sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. Doesn't say that there isn't sin. The law of sin still lives in our members. It still desires. It lusts against us. The spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. But the spirit desiring, temptation and sin aren't the same thing. Therefore, stop letting sin reign in your mortal bodies. Now he's talking to Christians, and so it's possible for Christians to let that happen. But it happens because they don't know who they are in Christ, and they don't know what Jesus accomplished for them, and they don't know the life that Jesus is now wanting to live in them. Stop letting sin reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey its lust, and stop presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of warfare. That's the word here, as weapons of unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those who are already alive from the dead, because you've been raised with Christ, and your members as weapons of righteousness to God. In the very next verse, for sin shall not continue to reign over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace. Now hear what he says here. Grace has a face, and all of grace is in Christ. Alrighty? What does it mean to be under the law? Remember the little children's song for CTKers? I used to sing this to my kids when they were little. Do this and live. The law commands, but gives you neither feet nor hands. A better way his grace does bring. It bids you to fly and gives you wings. We used to sing that a long time. The law is man's best sincere effort to live a life pleasing before God. Grace is God's best effort in us to live a life pleasing before God. God could have saved you by simply tapping you on the shoulder and saying, you're saved, you're forgiven, you're going to heaven one day. But he didn't just come to save you from sin's penalty. He came to transform you and to save you from sin's power. That's why he came to live in you by the Holy Spirit. Not to sit on some stool with a pom-pom cheering you on to try your best. He came to live in, to take over, that he would reign. I love Romans 5:17. It says, for if by the transgressions of the one, Adam, death reigned to the one, much more, those who are receiving the abundance of grace and are receiving the gift of righteousness are reigning in life through the one Christ Jesus. How? Through a person. not through a formula, not through a few steps, but reigning in this life, not just in the life to come, through the one Christ Jesus. Because Jesus Christ in you is the abundance of grace, and he is the gift of righteousness. Sin shall not be a master over you any longer because you're not under the law. It's not about you trying your best to be pleasing to God. It's about you simply surrendering yourself. Present your body. Stop presenting your members. You're dead to sin. It doesn't have any right to control you anymore. It's not your master. His relationship is your relationship to sin. So all we have to do is what? Say yes to that. Put your foot down and say, stop. And yield your members as weapons of righteousness to God. Trusting grace in that moment. Because you're no longer under the law, your best effort. You're under grace. Do you hear me?
Amen.
Per temptation, simply again say yes. Whatever member that is, your mind, your hand, whatever, the lips, the thought life, yes to grace. And watch grace do its work. It's a gift. Righteousness is a gift that we walk out one temptation at a time. And that gift is the righteousness of a person. The life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And maybe there's some folks here, I find this to be true over these 40 years of doing this, sharing these things. I know that my walk with the Lord, I was very sincere. And I am, when I was 23 and I came out of the world and whole drug scene, but I was mentally ill too because of the consequences of sin in my life. And I would beg God to help me to not keep giving in to those fears and thoughts and stuff. And I'd make all kind of promises to him. But I promise you, I'll pray more if you'll just help me. I'll do this more. I'll witness to people. I'll memorize scripture. And I would do better because guilt is a very good motivator for about 4 days. And then I'd fall again and make deeper promises. And finally I found out one time that I'd been discovered that I used to read Romans 7 over and over again. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And I go, yeah, that's my story. The things I don't want to do, I do. The things I want to do, I can't do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver this body of death? And I kept waiting for the formula. All right, give me the 3 steps. And then he closed the thing out. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thought, that's not fair. Don't tell my story and then go, and then talk to you later. Come back for the next episode. I thought, no, I need it right now. And I went through that way for 2 years. And finally I got it. He didn't say, what shall deliver me from this body of death? He said, who? And I discovered that Christianity was a who-to, not a how-to. That's a hymn book, an H-I-M book. And that he gave the answer. And I'd been reading it over and over again, never saw it. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And then I finally realized that I had a new heart, but I didn't know how to tap into the new power. And I realized the new power wasn't a thing, it was a person, because grace has a face. And I could just simply step by step keep presenting my members to him and saying thank you to the grace of God, the gift of God of righteousness. And that was 40 years later. It's been 40 years since then. It's more real to me today than ever before and more exciting than the day before because it's miraculous. The greatest miracles that I'm ever a part of aren't those things that I do when I pray for people and they get healed. Or if I give somebody a word of knowledge, it's like right on. Yesterday I had a word for somebody who was, I said, I just see you cooking spaghetti. And she was cooking spaghetti before she came to Eucharist. The council member who came in yesterday and sat on the pew and were healed because they sat in the pew. Those are awesome miracles. But you know what the greatest miracle of all is? Is I don't get impatient with my wife. I don't get frustrated and angry and bitter and resentful and critical. Those are the greatest miracles I experience all day long, every day. And I can't get over it. And I don't give in to fear, And Jesus isn't mentally ill. It's the coolest thing in the world. Oh, well, we can keep going. This is my story. Actually, it's his story, and I'm sticking to it. All right? In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.